palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, "And thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied, saying, "I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest." And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. Now what we are seeing here in this culmination is that prophecy that Jesus made. "You're going to deny me three times." Verse 69, "And a maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, 'This is one of them.' And he denied it again, and a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, 'Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto.' But he began to curse and to swear, saying, 'I know not this man of whom you speak.' And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said unto him, 'Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice.' And when he thought thereon, he wept." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, there are a lot of things to hold our attention, a lot of little fires for us to warm our hands by on this earth. And it seems like there's new material and new things for us to look at every day. But Father, I pray this, that we mark and monitor where it is we warm our hands. What things we allow to hold our attention. Father, you are to be the master of our heart. Lord, help us not to be putting things into it that would disgrace, dishonor you. Help us, Lord, to be right. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Peter had made a mistake. Now, was it his curiosity that kept him so close? Was it his care and concern for Jesus Christ? Sure, maybe. But where he was in a bad spot. Where he was among the sinners, among those that were willing to see, looking to see something bad happen to Jesus, and there he was warming his hands. Now, maybe he was being sneaky, maybe he was being stealthy, but what he did was deny Christ. Now, none of us here would ever want to say that we would ever be in a position where we would get up and we would deny Christ. Brother, you don't understand. I've been saved for longer than you've been alive. I've been a church member since you were in diapers. You have no idea how faithful I have been to the Lord. We put the wrong stuff inside our heads. We allow ourselves to be entertained by wickedness. And we may find ourselves in that position. Or as the world turns and persecution becomes more prevalent, we're going to see what we have always seen through history, where people take off the cross. And they'll pretend to be, "Well, you know, I used to go to church." Or we'll sit there and we'll know what's right, but we'll sit there and we'll agree to disagree. We deny Christ in a lot of different ways. And Peter, he finds himself there. And it's kind of funny, the first time we see it, look at what he says. "I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest." No comprende. How often do we hear that among folks? "Well, I don't quite understand what this doctrine is, but that's what my church believes, but I really don't know myself." We ought to know. We ought to know. We ought to know what we believe. We ought to know where we stand. We ought to know who it is that we have believed in and who it is that we have trusted. We ought to know who Jesus Christ is. We ought to know what the Word of God says. We ought to know. Because if we don't, how easy it'll be to face just a little bit of persecution. Now, we see, who was it that came to approach Peter? Was it a soldier? Was it a detective? Was it a governor? Somebody who could hurt him? No, the Bible just simply says here, it was a young maid. All right? And as Peter was beneath the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. So maybe not young, but one of the maids working under the high priest. Maybe somebody who changed out the linens, somebody who scrubbed the floors, maybe somebody who made the food. I don't know what she did. But she was in a service job. Certainly not somebody for him to be afraid of. Not somebody facing him with a sword or with a gun or with threats. He was just simply afraid of what people would say if they found out who he was. What they might do to him if they found out who he was. As persecution begins to ramp up, there's going to be a lot of Christians who walk away from their faith because they don't want to be one of the bad guys. But we got to remember, good and bad is not decided on what is popular here on earth, but it is decided based on what the Word of God says. That's what we trust in. If the whole world loses their mind, as I assure you it has, we do not look to them to say, well, do you agree with this? Oh, okay, so this is, you know, a woman could be this now, a man could be this now. This is religion's role in things. Excuse me again. This is what we're looking at. You know, the world say, hey, this is the standard. But they're crazy. Don't listen to that. They've lost their minds. The things that we've allowed, the things that we have pushed, the things that this world has to offer, they're dangerous things. Now, what kind of fires, when we sit there and we want to take this into our connotation, kind of using this as an illustration, what do I mean by not warming yourself by the wrong kind of fires? Number one, the first thing that comes to mind is entertainment. It's anywhere you stop and sit for a while. Anything that gets your attention. Man, when we were kids, we had that. My mama and papa had property up north. We would go up there every summer. We'd have a big old fire. We'd sit up till 2 o'clock in the morning sometimes. You know, at the age of 10, that was forever. Sitting right in front of that fire. And it was fun, and we would talk, and we would share stories. And most of the times, we'd just do what 10-year-old kids do with fire. I'm not going to tell you a lot of them because my kids are here, and one of them's 10 years old. We just did stuff. But nowadays, you know, I consider anywhere where you stop and you spend some time. You know, the internet can be a fire you sit in front of that will burn you. Right. Now, a lot of people struggle with the internet. And they'll either struggle with how long they're there or the content they're consuming when they are there. How about the television? Oh, we've got good TV nowadays, don't we? No, we got some crazy stuff on TV. Stuff that if we were to show the people who invented the TV, they probably would have just smashed it when it was in its prototype. Hey, we're not doing this. Uh-uh. If we're going to head there, we're not doing it. Man, we got some bad stuff out there. And yet we sit and we watch. And sometimes you get people that get so excited about their favorite TV shows, they'll go out, they'll buy merchandise. I saw somebody, I was trying to figure out, there's this symbol all over everybody's trucks and things, and I was trying to figure out what that was. I came in, and my dad had something like that over his house, and, Dad, what is that? It was a TV show. People were tattooing their trucks for their favorite TV show. And I said, well, Dad, what kind of show is it? He starts telling me about some of the stuff going on it and some of the words that they use, and I go, oh, okay, well, I guess I'm still too young to watch that. There's some rough things out there, and people don't mind. Hey, we'll put this out there. We'll put that out there. Here's an idea. Let's make a TV show about cooking and selling methamphetamines. Go there, cooking crystal meth. Let's make a TV show about that. That was something they did some time ago. I can't remember how long ago that TV show was on. Let's put that out there. And who are we rooting for the entire time? Now, go ahead and you take a look around Flint, and you tell me if crystal meth is a funny thing. Is that entertaining? Oh, everybody liked the TV show. But let's come on down. Let's go take a look at some of these homes where children are sold into trafficking so that they can buy their drugs. Well, isn't that funny? I wonder what the ratings are on that. Let's head on down to the jail. People doing long-term sentences for cooking and distributing this mess. Yet, where are we? People are sitting there warming themselves by that fire, warming themselves by those entertainments. Oh, it's no big deal. It's just a TV show. To you, it's a TV show. To other people, it was a life-ending thing. It was a life-ending event. The violence, the sexual content, just the randomness, the awfulness that is put out there. What we warm ourselves by, what you feed your brain will be more comfortable with. You become more calm with. I always think about this. You know, I had some friends staying in one of our apartments. I got to know them real well. They were from India. And I thought I liked spicy food. Until they came in, hey, Matt, I want you to try this. What is it? It's better you don't know. Just try this. all right. He goes, you like spice, right? Yeah, I like spice. Can you handle really spicy food? I handle real spicy food. I could not handle what they were. I don't, to this day, I think they were pranking me. I go, there's no way you eat stuff this hot. Now to them, you know, they'll have 4 or 5-year-olds eating that stuff. And what? They're used to it. They grew up on it. They're comfortable with it. Your body gets used to it. It adapts to it. And I'm sure if I were to sit down and eat at that level of spice for the rest of my life, my body would adapt to it too. I wouldn't ever want to ask it to, but it probably could. Same thing with your brain. What you put in your brain adapts to. It adapts to it. To the point where you can watch on TV, somebody just shoot somebody else in the head and it doesn't bother you. And I've known some people, they think that's cool. They're like, oh man, did you see that? Oh, it was gross and disgusting. All this stuff happened. Really? Hey, let's go talk to victims of people whose children or family have been victims of murder. Let's go talk to them. Tell them how cool you thought it was when you saw it on TV last night. And what is the chant we always sing about the stuff that we watch and listen to? Oh, it's just a show. Oh, it's just a song. Oh, it's just... If that's all it is, why are you so attached to it? I asked somebody one time, if that's all it was, if all it is just a way to spend an hour, why are you so attached to it when I proved to you how wrong it is? We got to be careful with what it is we entertain ourselves with. We need to be careful with what we make our hobbies and who we have those hobbies with. You know, I heard a testimony of a Christian growing up in a Christian family, growing up in church and serving the Lord, and had a good testimony. And he went out, and I think it was like softball or something. One of the, you get like a little local team or something. Bunch of guys get together or whatever, and they're just playing for fun. There's no real big thing going on there, but they're just playing for fun. And one day it's, hey, why don't you come out and get pizza with us? And they go out and they get pizza. And let's go out and get pizza again. Hey, let's go to McDonald's. Hey, let's run on down to Rusty's Bar around here. And, well, I don't know if I should. Well, come on, well, you don't have to drink. And they started going with him. And after a while, it didn't take too long for that perfectly good Christian, raised in a perfectly good Christian home, to start drinking. And that drink completely controlled that person's life. They gave everything to the drink. And his testimony was how the Lord saved him from the disaster that could have been. Where we spend our hobbies, more particularly who we spend our hobbies with, can have an effect on us as well. I'm a big believer that you need to have hobbies. You need to have something that excites you, something that keeps your hands moving, something that keeps your mind going. You absolutely need those, and I applaud. I like hearing about other people's hobbies, the little things that they're doing. That's exciting. But don't let those hobbies have you. And don't let those hobbies be something the devil can get to you through. Now, there's just some things that I'll look at. Hey, wouldn't you like to come do this? Yep. But you know what? There's a lot of bad company in that. So no. Hey, well, would you like to come over and help us do this? Oh, that'd be great. Who's coming? No, I'm not going to do that. Not because we think people are worth less of value, but because we're told to stay away from certain characters with certain things that they're doing. Wouldn't want to have anything to do with them, right? I knew somebody just would not go anywhere where they were. Why? Because I know that they were an avid drug user, and it would just be something to happen. That the police would show up and want to check this guy out, and then we'd all be in trouble. Wouldn't be anywhere near it. Well, brother, are you telling me that you'd be weak enough to try what it is that he had in his pocket? No, but that's not the only danger there is. It's not the only danger there is. After a while, we become too friendly about things, too accepting about things. We find ourselves in trouble. Peter, in the face of the Lord, would have probably said, and he even said it, I'll never deny you. But he did. And we sit here and we think that we're so high and mighty, we can say, I would never. But we're not those people. We don't have the right to say, I would never. You know, I know a lot of young people do that. You know, as a young person, it was drilled into us. hey, listen, be careful with your dating life. Be careful with your friends. Be careful with how you're driving. Be careful with these things. You know, hey, Matt, make sure you're not driving all crazy out there. I know how you teenagers can be. And I'd always say the same thing. I would never. Hey, be careful with this. I would never. But then I grew up and realized there is no such thing as I would never. If you allow yourself to be in the wrong company, in the wrong place, that's sin nature. Who knows what it might do? And if it catches you spiritually weak, it'll win. Now, I talk about it as though it's some kind of like a weird double personality thing. You're still driving the car. It's still you making the decision. But we get weak. We get weak. We need to make sure that we're not allowing the devil to get at us through our hobbies or our friend groups. Be careful with our friend groups, the people that we talk to. Well, yeah, I've got one friend and they're an atheist and I just know that I can't talk to them about this. So they don't talk about it and I don't talk about it. No, here's the thing. You're afraid that if you give them the gospel, they'll stop being your friend. But one day they're going to realize that you sat there in silence and never gave it to them. And you better hope that day that they realize isn't the first day they spend in hell. Well, I had a friend who was a Christian. I can't believe they never said anything to me. Not that it'll matter. They rejected God their whole life. I tell you what, I'd much rather be the person who stands strong that you know what I believe. We need to be that strong, bold person, that strong, bold Christian we're called to be. You ought to know what I stand for, know what I won't stand for. And you got to expect that I'm going to say something. I had a family member do that just recently. Well, what if we just did this? I go, have we met? Do you not know me? Hey, is it okay if I go down there? Maybe can I drink this around? No. Hey, listen, why don't we go down? No. Yeah, that's another one I have. You know, my family learned a long time ago, if you want me to come to your birthday party, your graduation party, you're gonna have to wait for me to get out of church first. I'll see you in the afternoon. I got to the point where I had one aunt call me. She says, hey, listen, this is what time it starts on Sunday. But if you show up at 1:30, like I know you're gonna, it'll be okay. Okay, I'll be there. Right? And of course there's that guilt. Well, you can't skip just one day? Now, thankfully, after I became a pastor, that kind of backed up. People stopped asking if I could just skip for one day. But whether you're the pastor or not, no. Why? I don't wanna. Well, you put that church first. Well, yeah, I absolutely do. Right? Well, you can't come out with the boys and we're going golfing. You're gonna skip out on the golf group. You're gonna skip out on the whatever group for your church. I mean, you go to church all the time. Spring's coming. Don't you want a day off? Don't you want to get out there? No, I want to be right where I ought to be. Because one of two things will happen. Either the Lord's gonna chasten me for this. Or I'm going to score 18 holes in one in a row, and I'm not going to be able to tell any of my buddies about it. You know? We need to be careful with our friend groups. Because the people we surround ourselves by, we begin to rub off on, and they begin to rub off on us. And everybody wants to be the missionary to their friend group. Well, I'm the Christian. I hold everybody together. If they're going to hear it, they're going to hear it from me. Yeah, but how much of what they're saying is rubbing off on you? You know, when they're sitting there and say, hey, listen, I know you're religious, but we're going to do this. Is that going to be okay? Well, don't worry about it. You know, that you got those people, they start to swear, and they look over at you, they say they're sorry. You know, the perpetual Christian affliction, right? People swear, and then they look over, sorry. And they don't seem to swear any less. They just make sure they interrupt the conversation and say, sorry. You know, you'd sound a lot more intelligent. You just drop those curse words and you'd save a whole lot more time if you didn't have to apologize every 2 minutes. But, you know, what's our thing? Oh, don't worry about it. I'm a grown up. Oh, don't worry about it. I've heard adult words before. No, we ought to stand up for these things and not find ourselves among bad company. And we're afraid to say that certain groups are bad company because we don't want to put anybody down. But the fact of the matter is, if somebody's bad company, they're bad company. if they're trying to, if they're influencing you, if you're, I know this sounds a little high school, but grown-ups are just as susceptible to it. If they're pressuring you or they're making you comfortable with sin, that's not the place for you to be. That's not the place for you to be. Is that a good place for you to be warm in your hands? The wrong kind of fires can get you burned. They become distractions. The wrong kind of things, the wrong kind of entertainments, hobby, friend groups, whatever you can think of to spend time on, the wrong ones can burn you. They can distract you from what's important. They can soften your resolve on certain things. Think about Peter again. I mean, let's take another look here at verse 68. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. Now, if you're Peter, when would you have wanted to get caught? When would you have wanted to realize or be reminded that you're sliding off? Man, I would have hoped that I would have caught, the first time that rooster went off, that's when I would have wanted to have been caught. I never would have wanted to slip in the first place, but man, that first rooster came right after the first one, the first denial. Man, that's where I'd want to get caught. But he was so adamant to not get caught by those people. He was so willing to blend in. That rooster meant nothing to him. It didn't do anything for him. And you know what? Oftentimes the Lord sends us warnings through the preaching of the Word, through the reading of the Word, through the Holy Spirit nudging us. And if we are too concerned about where we're warming our hands, we'll be too distracted to hear it. Or too devoted to the thing to be able to be told that what we're doing is wrong. The wrong kind of fires can raise questions about you. You know, they're looking at Peter. You don't talk like us. You don't belong here. You don't talk like us. I'm pretty sure I've seen you with him. Oh, no. And I'm telling you, as we've looked back through Baptist history, there was tons of people that when the persecution would roll in, when this world finally denounces Christianity with a stronger foot, you're going to see a lot of these megachurches shut their doors. You're going to see people leave churches by the thousands because they're afraid of being looked at as somebody who's no longer socially adequate. We're going to look different. I said this morning, I talked about dress this morning. You know, when we think about that, we ought to look like Christians. When we come into church, we ought to look like we're coming to church. Right? Now, as I said, if the best you've got is a pair of jeans and a clean T-shirt, that's the best you got. Come in the best you got. But I tell you what, there's nothing wrong with a little tie. Nothing wrong with a good clean pair of slacks. And if we've been here for a while, we need that. I praise the Lord for people who saw me coming to church on Sundays and said, come here, put this coat on you. That coat looked ridiculous on me. Was it the best? It was the best I had. It didn't impress anybody. Everybody looking at me thought I was poor. I was. You know, we didn't have dress clothes at our house. I had somebody buy me a pair of shoes one time because I was sitting there in church in my tennis shoes. Had light-up tennis shoes in church on a Sunday morning. They went and they bought me a pair of shoes. Guessed at my shoe size. They were two sizes too big. I got to wear those shoes for a while. But for the first few months of me wearing them, clunk, clunk, clunk. I was like a clown looking thing headed to church. You know, what you really need is a dress shirt. And after a while, my mom got used to me going to church, and she'd buy me things to wear to church, and I'd get show up presentable. Do the best you can. Show up presentable. Do the best you can. But when we're out in the world and it's ties off and it's more comfortable, you still ought to look like a Christian out there. Your actions still need to look different than everybody else. Not purposefully, not going for weird or strange, but man, if everyone's cussing, you're not. If everyone's losing their temper and getting mad, you're not. While everyone's slapping each other on the back saying, you to man, you to man, you to man, you need to be praising the Lord for whatever victory we're all celebrating. humble heart, one who bears the fruit of the Spirit, and puts that influence into everything they do. That's who we ought to be. But being around the wrong kind of company, being in the wrong places, allowing the wrong things to have access to our heart, will take those things away. If someone's going to question you, I like this. You know, we went out, this was years ago, we were in Flat Rock. We were headed down to camp, or up to camp, I think, because we used to run a camp up in Hawks, Michigan. And we were headed up to camp, and we stopped off at a McDonald's. We were only ever allowed to stop off at, kids, we were only ever allowed to stop off at McDonald's on our trips to camp. I think I'm being a little bit nicer about how we do it. But only ever allowed to stop off at McDonald's. We'd walk in there. One person came up to us. Are you all a church group? Now, I fought real hard not to shout, no, we're all his kids, and point to my pastor, because I thought that would have been funny. They noticed us by the way we dressed. They noticed us by the way we prayed. The person says, hey, I'm one too. And I've noticed others. You ever notice people, you're out shopping, and you see they're dressed respectfully. You know what I'm saying? Now, I mean, of course, it's not too hard nowadays, as long as you don't see somebody in their, you know, Cookie Monster pajama bottoms sitting in the line at the bank. Remember back when people used to dress up to go to the bank? You're sitting there and you're seeing somebody with some fuzzy animal pajamas and a tank top in line at the bank, and you're just going, man, we ought to leave this world behind. Brother Tim and I like to laugh about the people at Walmart, you see. People dress, when they go to Walmart, people dress like their house caught on fire and they put on the first thing they could find. And then you look over, I'll see somebody wearing a pair of pants. You know, a man wearing a pair of pants on a 90 degree day, and I go, I know you. You sit there, you see a lady who's not showing off every part of her body with how tight her clothing is. I know you. I know what you are. Yeah, especially if they're wearing church shirts. You know, those people every now and then you see people wearing shirts with their church's name on the back. Okay, all right, now I know what kind of you are, but I know you. We ought to be different. Peter's sitting there. He'd been so close to Jesus, there was no hiding who he was. That ought to be us. So close and so devoted to the Lord, there's no question in who we are. And we ought not be ashamed of it. We ought not hide it. We ought not want to stand away from it. Every now and then I'll go out and I'll forget what I'm wearing. I've got a t-shirt that says biblically fit. That's what it says on there. That's about the only fit I am right now. Biblically fit. And every now and then I'll be going through and people will look at my shirt. What does your shirt mean? You know, just remember what it is. Oh yeah, I'll have a conversation about it. Some people, you know, I've been there in my life before where I'll wear a church shirt and I don't want to have a conversation, so you put something over it. I used to do that in high school and people would be aggressive or making fun of me. I'd go put a sweater on. I'm glad those days are over. I don't care anymore. You want to, we were joking over in the men's thing, you know, but people making fun of people. Hey, go ahead. I've been to middle school. I was a fat kid in middle school. You can call me anything you want. Ain't going to bother me. I had a tough hide. But I'll tell you this. We need to not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We need not be ashamed of Jesus Christ. We're so convinced of our need to be accepted that we're willing to walk away from Him. These things, they weaken our integrity. They pull us from Christ. Leads us to deny Christ. And so often these places where we entertain ourselves, they put us into the wrong kind of place to be in. You know, the internet's a powerful tool, but there are places you ought not be in. The world is a wonderful place filled with fantastic things. There are places you shouldn't be. You know, while we were having dinner, and there was a fight over by the bar. A fight over by the what? Well, a fight over by the bar. You were at a bar? Well, we were sitting in the more restaurant part of the bar, but yeah. What was it called? Whatever bar. So it's in the name, you're at the bar, the name of the bar, and there was a fight at the bar, and you just happened to be there? as a Christian who's been saved for 20 some odd years, you just happened to be there? Yeah. I mean, we were just having burgers and steaks, you know, weirdest thing. You know, I'll tell you this, you know, I'll go down to the puddle in my backyard, and I'll walk in that thing, and I just so happen to get wet. Isn't that weird? I'll go over in my front, I'll go out my driveway, and I'll pick up some of the rocks. My hands get dirty. Isn't that weird? I put my head in the trash can, and it smells. Can you believe that? You put yourself in the wrong kind of place. We don't have the right to act surprised when what happens, happens. I kicked a skunk. Now I smell. What do I do? What a weird happenstance. We did what God told us not to do. We were in the wrong place, and all of a sudden, you're trying to pretend you're not who you are. Well, I don't want anybody to know I'm a Christian here because a Christian shouldn't be here. Rewind that back a little bit. Play. A Christian shouldn't be here. Why shouldn't a Christian be here? Because this place is prone to chaos for the flesh. So we need to mark those places. We need to be careful with those places. Make sure we're nowhere near them. Consider David's rooftop. That's a place he shouldn't have been. How about Elijah's hideouts as he's sitting there running? That's a place he shouldn't have been. Lord calls on him, I'm ready to die. That's not a good place to be, is it? He should have been running to the Lord. He should have cried out to him long since. Remember when we were studying the Old Testament, we were talking about Saul hiding among the stuff? We all have places our fleshly nature wants to go. And we need to mark those places as places we can't go. We can't be there. We, down at the conference at Flat Rock, they gave out the gift bags. And man, they gave me a gift bag. It had like, I don't know, you have to ask the boys. It had like a dozen bags of those mini bags of chips. Had another dozen of those little tiny packs of cookies. And at the very bottom, there was Hershey Kisses and Crackle Bars and those little tiny chocolate candies. I sat there, I dumped it out, and I go, oh. There was two bags of Smart Pop popcorn. I go, that's where I can go. But I can't go there. You know what I mean? It would be foolish for me to have this. I brought it to the church, and I'm like, I'm just going to start handing this stuff out. You know, we'll take some stuff, we'll leave some stuff at home, but man, you do not need packets of stuff like this. I'm thankful for them doing that. Now I feel like I sound ungrateful. That's not what I meant. But the point, hey, that's bad for me. I can't have that. That makes my blood sugar go all the way up. That's no bueno. That does not align with my goals. Not having it. As Christians, we need to be able to recognize things that are harmful for us spiritually. We need to recognize things that can hurt us spiritually. And we need to be nowhere near those places. What we need instead is the right kind of fires to warm our hands with. I'm not gonna sit here and pass judgment on Peter, because I don't know what I would have actually done in the moment, but I tell you what Peter should have done biblically. Peter should have been with the rest of the disciples, and they should have been praying. They should have been praying. And you know what? They should have been worshiping. Because Jesus outlined exactly what was going to happen, and that plan was in action, and they should have hit pause and said, Lord, thank you. Be with Christ. Be with him now as he goes through this. They should have been comforting his mom. They should have been comforting those that loved him. They should have been preaching in the streets. Jesus laid out the whole plan. Wouldn't it have been fun to find those disciples preaching that plan? I'm going to tell you what they're going to do. They're going to find him guilty of nothing. They're going to kill him. And 3 days later, you go to his grave. 3 days later, he's coming back. That's what they should have done. But instead, Peter was sitting there just hoping to find some news. Finding himself among the wrong kind of people. And of course, we see that same kind of thing later on. Where they're out fishing. Instead of looking for Christ, instead of preaching, instead of doing the work they were called to do, they went out fishing. when we say we need to be by the right fire, you need to warm yourself daily by the book. You need to warm yourself daily by spending time in God's presence in prayer. Consider how much time you waste on useless entertainment compared to how much time you spend in the presence of the Lord every day. You know, I've seen people, you know, I'll talk to them, I don't have time to pray. Cool, give me your phone. We'll pull up the app. Well, it looks like you were on this for 4 or 5 hours today. You couldn't have read the Bible during that time? How much time did you spend in prayer today? Oh, I forgot to pray today. Cool, let's go over to the people you did call. You called your buddy, you called your brother, you called this person, you called that person. And on top of it, you're spending a bunch of time looking on Facebook, you're over here on Instagram, you're over here on this, you're over here on that. You didn't have time to stop and talk to God? My, we need that time. We need to warm ourselves by the fires that matter. We need to have a spiritual influence, listening to good godly music, being in good godly company. I'll tell you this, if you're like a lot of retired people I know, you get to feeling lonely, Friday mornings are your mark. Friday mornings are a good point for you to be here. Come on in. Come on in. You don't even have to drink coffee. This is about the Bible study. You know what I mean? Come on in. I look back at Brother Mike. Brother Mike's never had a cup of coffee during our time. Never once. Have some good Bible study. And I like it when the good Bible study turns into good biblical conversation. And a lot of times you get a group of people together, they'll start talking about the rain, the weather, the bugs outside. But I tell you what, we get to talk about spiritual things. We can go for a while. I've walked out of that sometimes, and I'm like, well, it's noon, it's lunchtime. And I walk away better having had fellowship among God's people. Those Friday mornings are much better than any bar crowd you find. Much better than anybody sitting around the back. Much better than you can find anywhere else. We need to spend time in the church as well. We talked this morning about the wonder of being in church on a Sunday morning. Somebody sent me this, and I didn't post it. Somebody sent me this picture. And they said, next time you want to, how do they put it? Next time your church has a dinner fellowship, attend it via Zoom and see how fed you feel. I thought that was hilarious. Because you see a lot of that where people are like, well, I'm too busy on a Sunday morning. I'll just catch it on Zoom. Flat Rock did that, and I had to go. I was headed home to see Danielle, and I was headed back, and I missed the last two on Friday night. But Brother Lindsay gave me the Zoom password, so I logged in, and I was watching it while driving. So I had two preachers. Well, one preacher, the other guy was kind of a novice, but one preacher before I left, two preachers after I left, and I'm gonna tell you this: I like being there. I like being there much better. These people who are members of the First Church of the Couch, I'm telling you, they're missing out. These people who make these arguments of, well, you could be at church anywhere you are. No, you can't. No, you can't. Well, you know, I'll watch one sermon over here on TBN, and then there's another guy on YouTube I watch, and that's my Sunday morning, and I do pretty well with that. You get in there and you sing praises to the Lord. Quit messing around. Quit playing games. And you know, some people, they stay. I've known people who come to church, they don't talk to anybody. You ever see those? I hope we've never had people here like that. I know we don't have them now, but they'll come in. And they'll come in at like 2 minutes after church starts. They'll come in, they'll sit right back where Brother Mike sits. And they'll sit there for the whole service. And then 2 minutes into the singing of the final hymn, one guy was sitting by a window, I heard him start his car. The pastor went like this. He started his car from inside. And sure enough, before we prayed, I turned around. That man was gone. And people do that for years. Stop and say hi. Stop and see how people are doing. I've even known people who come into the church, they sit down and they wait for other people to talk to them. And then, which is fine. If you're not a conversation starter, those people exist. And hey, that's fine. But don't sit there and be mad that nobody came and talked to you. I knew somebody like that one time. Well, so-and-so never talks to me. Well, why do you think they never talk to you? I don't know. They never talk to me. So I'm not a gossiper, but I like to bring two people together if there's a problem. So, hey, listen, you ever talk to Sister so-and-so? No. Why? Because every time I go near her, she gives me this very serious face. So to be clear, you're not talking to her because her scary face scares you, and you're giving her a scary face because she never comes talk to you. Now listen, I'm not a psychotherapist, but I got an idea on how to fix this. You know what I mean? We need God's people in our lives. Amen. And I say that because so often when we're struggling, when we're fighting things, when we've got heartaches and problems in our lives, what do? You know what we do. You do what I've often been caught doing. No, everything's fine. I'm good. And I'm looking at you and I go, I know you're not good. I am all right. And in my head, I'm running through everything I know is going on. I'm running through all your prayer requests and I go, you're not okay. But I'm going to pray for you anyway. We shut ourselves off. We seclude ourselves. We need to be warmed by the fire of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, I just don't feel like entertaining. That's the wonderful thing about being in pain or being in suffering. You don't have to do anything. We'll come by and we'll take care of it for you. So we need our Bible. We need our prayer time. We need our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need Christian content to consume. We need to watch Christian movies. Now some of them are real bad. Some of them, the theology is awful. But man, I like that one. What was that? Courageous. Came out with that movie, Courageous. That was a pretty good movie. It was about some cops and Christians, cops who were Christians, who wanted to become better fathers and better husbands. That was a good movie. Nobody's head got blown off, but it was a good movie. You know what I mean? There was no cussing or swearing, but it was a good movie. I cried. I cried a lot during that movie. I'm a man. I cried a lot during that movie. I've referred to a few of them, Flywheels, another good one, Time Change. I enjoy good Christian movies. We need Christian content. We need good, solid preaching. But if we're warming our hands by the wrong fires, we will find our spiritual strength deteriorating. So Peter, in a moment where he could have made a major impact, fell into his flesh. Let us feed the Spirit, warming ourselves by the proper fires, so we ourselves don't get weak in the moments where we need to be strong. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, please protect us from moments where we need to be strong. And Lord, when those moments come, I pray you give us every bit of strength we need. Help us, Lord, to look to you, to entertain ourselves with things that give you honor and glory, for us to consume content, movies, music, and Father, please, yes, sermons, to keep us strong and encouraged. Lord, we need you in every moment of our lives, so help us never to be found going to the devil for those things. Help us to turn to you. Lord, rely on you heavily. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.